Welcome to the Stephen Carr, Your Full Stack, LLC podcast. Today's topic is doing hard things. So I want to tell a few stories about some of the things that I've done over the years and why I've done it. And I think, honestly, this started back in early high school. I was just always taught by my parents to just never give up, never quit. My freshman year when I had made the freshman basketball team, which honestly in a school of 5,000 people was pretty good accomplishment on its own. But I had joined the team and I wasn't getting as much playing time as I wanted and I just wasn't feeling good and I really just wanted to quit. And my parents had just talked to me and they were like, "Now, you know, there's character. There's a lot of reasons you can stay committed to something." And it was good that they did that, right? Early in your life, you just need to learn to commit to do things, whether you love them or not. Sometimes there's just a lesson to be learned in the process, especially if it's something that's shorter too, you know, a shorter commitment, like a year. And that ended up being a pivotal moment for me. And going through that, I ended up getting more play time. Things really turned around that season. And then I pivoted my sophomore year and I actually started getting into wrestling. I'd never done that before. And so that was brand new, but I really enjoyed that as well. And it was another challenge to undertake, basically learning how to beat someone else up, you know, in a legal arena, which was really cool. Again, challenging and good. So over the years, I've just always made sure that, you know, what is the real reason? So why do we challenge ourselves, or why should you challenge yourself to do something hard, to stretch yourself, to get out of your comfort zone? And this could be a million different ways, but the easiest way to challenge yourself, male, female, it doesn't matter, is physically. We can challenge ourselves in so many ways, academically, emotionally, spiritually, but physically, you literally can go outside and just start running. Run until you can't go anymore. Just test your limits, just do something. And the real reason that it's good to do that is, first of all, I can't think of a better way to build your own self-confidence and your self-esteem. Because some people are like, "Hey, you have intrinsic value, you're worth something as a human," which is true. Everyone does have value. But there is something called cognitive dissonance, where if you tell yourself lies that you know in your heart are not true, then you just, it's going to be detrimental to your mental health, you know? So you can't tell yourself, "Hey, I'm accomplished, I'm rich, I'm all these things." If they aren't true, your body, your brain won't accept it. So when you get out there and actually accomplish things, "Hey, I just ran a 5K. Hey, I just ran half a marathon. Hey, I just ran a full marathon." You can then look back to those accomplishments as almost like evidence that you know you're going to be okay, that you can accomplish this next thing. And in life, you're always going to come across new challenges, some things that are going to push you beyond your limits, some things that will be harder than you've ever experienced in your entire life. But you'll be able to get over it and you'll be stronger because of it. I even used to use this with my kids. I would always reference their past successes to encourage them to tackle something new. You know, so when I was teaching my daughter to ride her bicycle, I would just always reference something else. "Hey, do you remember when you were able to do this and it took you 5 or 10 times and then you got it, right? So you got this too." Because I realized we all have a tendency to want to give up when the going gets tough. And so it's really good to like train yourself, train your kids, people around you, to always look back at your past accomplishments, not in a prideful way, but just as in kind of like a self-assured way, a self-respect way that you can move forward. So one story in particular that I'm thinking about that made me want to do this podcast was that a few years ago, I would say probably in 2022, I had taken a trip up to Colorado Springs. And on that trip, I was working remotely. At the time, I was traveling with my family. We were doing the RV thing. But I would go to libraries, coffee shops, you know, so I could do my remote work. Well, we're up there near Manitou Springs, and one of the things that I had read about was what is called the Manitou Incline. The Manitou Incline is basically just, it's a mountain, but it's steps, right? So just steps all the way up to the top of the mountain. The average grade is about 45%. The elevation is, you're about 8,600 feet when you hit the top. The total steps is around 2,768. And just to give you some perspective, that's about the same as basically hiking the Empire State Building up and down twice. So it's a great thing to do. People do it for exercise. People do it for fun. People do it to just tackle things. That particular day, I wasn't really making too many plans, and I just kind of on a whim was like, I'm going to go do that. Well, you're technically supposed to sign up, because apparently it's a dangerous thing, because people can just go up there and then you have to hike back down, and they actually say it's dangerous to go back down the stairs because people then, your legs are already weak, you might just trip and fall down the stairs. So you do the 2,768 steps up, and then the trail to get back down can take an additional, you know, 1 to 2 hours, because it's actually about 3 miles down on the trail to get back down to the base of that mountain in Manitou Springs. Well, I was working that morning, and I was by myself, and I was just like, you know what? I'm going to go do this. And so I just drove up to the mountain, parked, and I was like, hey, I didn't sign up. Can I go? And they said, well, sure. We'll just sign this paper and get up there. So I just started hiking. Well, I started doing this, and I didn't have any water with me. I didn't tell anyone I was going. And it sounds like it's not too bad. And if you think about it, you're like, I'm just going up steps. But I had to stop so many times. Most people do, because your legs burn so bad. You just like can't take another step. And I didn't have any water. And that was probably the most difficult thing, because this entire thing probably took me about 3.5 hours. And while I was going up to the very top, I was literally starting to get dehydrated. And some people passed me, and they all offered to share their water with me. So they would just like pour it into my mouth, which I thought was kind of interesting. I also felt a little pathetic going unprepared. And when I got to the very top, I was like, all right, great. Now I'm going to go down the trail. I'm going to go, you know, I did this. I made it to the top. I took a selfie. That's what's on the cover of the podcast here. I talked with people on the hike too. It was great. I met some new people, but it was time to go back down. And so I basically started trekking alone, and I got lost, and I didn't really, the trail is not clearly marked, you know, it kind of weaves back and forth towards the top. And I actually got near, I was just going and I was like, maybe this is the trail. And I literally came right up to the edge of a cliff. I was probably like a few feet from falling off. And I was like totally spooked. I was dehydrated. I was like, where am I? I'm in the wrong place. How do I even go? So I had to backtrack a whole half mile back up the mountain, figure out where I took a wrong turn, and then basically keep going down. So I guess I was just thinking about this story because obviously I've always done hard things. It's always better to plan than to just go on a spur of a moment. But for me, I just felt like a great sense of accomplishment just doing that thing. Obviously, I survived. I got up there, went down. People do it all the time. But it was really an awesome thing. It's if you ever had a chance, you should go do it. It's, you know, Manitou Springs. It's right outside of Colorado Springs, Colorado. And it's just a really, really good thing to kind of tackle. But that's one of the things, you know, we all live our lives. And let's be honest, if you're in America, you pretty much live mostly in comfort, right? I mean, if you're sleeping indoors, if you have food, shelter, you know, if you have a vehicle, you know, life actually is not that hard, you know, because you have your basic necessities met. And so we do live in this world where the slightest discomfort can kind of stress people out. And that's one of the main reasons, too, why I like to do hard, difficult things, is because when you do those things, other everyday normal problems, whether it's work stress, family stress, relationship stress, whatever it might be, just doesn't seem as big anymore. You know, you feel like you can take that on. Because otherwise, if you kind of are just living in a plateau and then you go through some relationship issues or work issues or whatever's going on, things can feel utterly overwhelming. But if you can look back in your life and say, hey, you know, I remember I did that, I took this over, I was able to accomplish that task, then it's a great thing. It really kind of helps you kind of get through the next step. There's so many things you can rely on too, not just yourself, right? You've got family, friends. But it's really good to have that baseline. Another story that I wanted to tell too is that on the same realm, I actually had more of a planned comfort test that I did. And that was actually a year before that. So I think it would have been in 2021. That I had always vacationed out in Florida with my family for years, right? Growing up as a kid, my grandma lived on Longboat Key Island. She was one of the first people that owned property out there. So my birthday every summer was on the beach, which was a special memory. And I just was really familiar with that place, Sarasota, Anna Maria, Longboat Key Island, that whole area. And I was like, well, what I'd love to do is see how cheap I can possibly have a beach vacation. So I was like, I'm just going to beach bum for like 3 days. So I got myself a Southwest ticket. I took the Sarasota public buses and basically got to the island. And then I just went with a backpack, solar panel to charge my phone. And I had my wallet so I could eat at restaurants and things. But I just slept out on the beach. And honestly, even though it was really cool, it was a little bit difficult because it's pretty windy on the beach. So I had to sleep with a towel over my face. And one of the nights it actually got a little bit rough. So what I ended up doing then was I basically just went to a lot of resorts that I was already familiar with. And then I just went and slept by the pool, you know, on one of the lounge chairs. But again, the whole purpose was, can I go out and do something that I don't normally do, right? Can I sleep under the stars for 3 days, zero plans, you know, no place to stay, no one to help me, just to basically test myself. And I love doing those things. And that's probably one of the reasons too, why I really enjoyed for all the years going to F3. F3 Nation is a workout group. It's for men, and I was kind of introduced to it right when COVID hit. In fact, I probably wouldn't have even learned about it if COVID hadn't come, because I met a bunch of new guys, and they were the ones doing it. It's a national thing. If you Google it, you can see where they work out and wherever you're traveling. It's always outdoors. It's open all men. It's free. It's peer-led. But it's a great thing because the whole purpose is literally men, you know, kicking each other's ass, you know? We push each other to the limit, or at least you're supposed to. The workouts are not supposed to be easy. If they are, you didn't lead it correctly. But what I realized too, and some of these things, these epiphanies, really didn't come to me until certain stages. So example, I would go to F3, I'd work out. Great, you know, I've always worked out, no big deal. But I started taking my boy. And my boy right now, he's 15. But I started taking him when he was probably 11. And he wouldn't go a lot, but he would come every so often. And what I realized was this, is at home, you ask him to do chores, mow the lawn, clean his room. Kids can sometimes have a tendency to whine, complain about the smallest things. But I realized when I started taking my boy to F3 and these workouts were pushing him to his limit and very difficult, he literally stopped complaining. Because everything else in his life at that point, compared to these difficult workouts that I was taking him to at 5 a.m., were easy. And right then it just clicked. Like, I had already always done this anyways, instinctively. But when I first saw it firsthand with my boy, I was just like, this is it. You know, this is what you need to do. You know, it helps turn little boys into men. You know, I'm a firm believer that I honestly don't think that a boy can turn into a man except through initiation by another man. It's very difficult otherwise. If he doesn't have a mentor, if he doesn't have someone to look up to, someone that is basically blazing the trail ahead of them. I mean, if you think about it in your life, there's always someone there, right? If you're a man living life, there is always someone else. Might be your dad, might be a mentor, might be someone at work, someone at church that you look up to that you're like, hey, they've made it that far. I'm behind them by X amount of years. I can do it too. It's almost like it's a comforting feeling, right? Someone once even described the older generations, right? Like our parents, almost as a brake light. When you're driving down a dark highway at night and it's foggy outside and you can't really see what's in front of you. But if you see another car's brake lights or their taillights, then you kind of just know, all right, I'm just going to pace with this person. You know, if the road's clear above them, then I should be good. And you just kind of follow them. You have like a smallest bit of comfort as opposed to just driving down in utter darkness, not knowing what's in front of you. And that one taillight just a little bit in front of you gives you a little bit of comfort. And I went to a funeral once and they said that whole analogy right there. And they said, you know, this person passing, a taillight has gone out that we used to follow, which I thought was a good analogy. It's a good word picture. And it's a good reminder because at any given point in your life, you might actually be that taillight to someone else, to your own kids, to the younger generation. We all literally never know who's watching. And so it's just something to think about. But at the end of the day, you should challenge yourself. Go do something that you haven't done before. Go stretch yourself. Get out of your comfort zone. You know, so that you can grow, so that you can be as strong as you can be, and you can be that taillight to someone else that you may not even know that you are. So, thanks for listening. Again, I'm Stephen Carr, and I'll see you next time.